Puerto Rico, my heart's devotion, let it sink back in the ocean. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. It's I, Andrew Dimitri, the mistress of pop culture, singing some lyrics from the iconic America from West Side Story. You guys, I'm really right now. I'm going to tell you why. I just watched on YouTube, I picked up my stories for today, and then I was like, I'm going to watch some YouTube videos. Then I went down the rabbit hole of musicals that I love, and of course, West Side Story came up, and I watched The Iconic America with Rita Moreno and the Sharks. You guys, it's a masterpiece, that movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it or if you're a fan of musical theater, but if you are, I highly suggest you watch the film. It's so good, and it's in preparation for the new iteration of West Side Story, directed by Steven Spielberg, that's coming out on the 10th, and I'm so excited. And the soundtrack comes out this Friday, which I'm really looking forward to, because I think West Side Story is in, like, my top five musical soundtracks. That, Oklahoma, King and I, Wicked, and probably Hairspray. I also love My Fair Lady. All I want is a room somewhere. Such an iconic film. But anyways, I was just reading reviews about the new West Side Story that's coming out, and it's getting stellar reviews, specifically Rachel Zegler, who plays Maria, and then Ariana DeBose, who's going to be playing Anita, but I'm really excited. But also, Rita Moreno is going to be in the movie, and she's the original Anita. It's going to be great. Ansel Elgort is Tony, and it's just directed by Steven Spielberg, and he's getting a lot of rave reviews too, which is really, you know, something special. But you guys, I'm so happy also movies are back. Cinema's back, and it's a great thing. So I love musicals so much. But aside from that, I hope everybody's having a great week. It's Thursday. We are 75% of the way through the week. No, we're like 80% of the way. I got it. You see, I'm so tired. I just need the weekend. It's been a fat. I'm still here in Florida on vacay. I'm getting so much sun, I can't even handle it right now. But it's nice because I'm outside all day. I'm like, ironically, I'm outside more here than I am when I'm home in LA, which I said yesterday, but I like to repeat myself because, like, you know. But anyways, I have four great stories for you guys today. Really, really good stories, actually. I'm actually quite shocked myself. I was shocked, honey. I was in tears, in the words of NeNe Leakes, that there were this many good stories this time of week. So that's great too. But yeah, let's chat about everything that's going on, because my head is spinning. So the first story is kind of the biggest thing that happened on Wednesday, and that is Alec Baldwin is sitting down with George Stephanopoulos from ABC, and he says, "I didn't pull the trigger on the hot gun." Okay, so there's going to be an interview tonight with George and Alec Baldwin on ABC, which is what I'm going to cover for Friday's episode, but there was sort of a preview of it, and there's a lot of talk about what's going on. So Alec Baldwin, by the way, this is from TMZ. Alec Baldwin says he didn't pull the trigger on the gun that killed Helena Hutchins, the first time we've heard him make the new claim, and leaving many more questions to be answered. The actor is speaking out about the Rust tragedy in his first sit-down interview, which will air Thursday on ABC today. The network just released a teaser for what is to be discussed, and there's a lot to unpack, including his claim that he didn't squeeze the trigger. I mean, that has a lot of people, you know, scratching their chin and in confusion, because from what we've been told, he allegedly was the one who was holding the gun that shot the bullet that tragically killed this woman. So he's saying he didn't pull the trigger. So it's like, did it ghost? No, I'm not going to make jokes about this, but it's like, obviously the preview for this interview has to hook people in, and that's a huge hook. I mean, this doesn't even need a hook, because it's so, I mean, so many people have so many questions about what the hell happened that tragic day, and I don't know. In a nearly 2-minute clip, you hear anchor George Stephanopoulos prepping Baldwin with questions, and it sounds like he's asking everything that most everybody has wondered about the story, and Alec seems to respond to much of it, oftentimes in emotional terms. He cries, yep. I mean, of course, he's very emotional about it. One question revolves around the alleged fact that Alec pulled the trigger during the rehearsal that day and was not called for in the script, at least according to people who have sued over this for. Immediately in response, Alec is heard saying, quote, "Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger." George Stephanopoulos seems stunned, but Alec Baldwin insists he never would point a gun at someone and fire. Of course, this would mean Baldwin is suggesting the gun misfired on its own. And then George Stephanopoulos ends the preview ends with, what do you say to actors like George Clooney who say they always check the rounds before they shoot or they have the gun on set, and then the clip ends. So I'm definitely going to be watching this. This is really interesting, and it's I mean, it's of course so tragic, but I mean, I don't think anybody aside from that interview he did with the paparazzi with Hilaria, no, Alec hasn't spoken out about it. I did have some initial thoughts when I saw the clip, and I'm just going to be really honest and candid about it. I mean, I'm going to preface it by saying all that matters about this is how tragic it is and the horrific passing of Helena, and just how my heart is broken for her, her husband, her son, her family. It's unimaginable. So that's the most important thing. But the other thing I noticed about when I was watching this clip was Alec is emotional, which I firmly do believe that. I mean, in a lot of paparazzi shots, she's just looking really disheveled, confused, upset. Anybody would be. I'm not saying this because I think it's a cop-out, but like when I said, and it's my personal opinion, it's my podcast, I can say what I want to. And I'm a big fan of Alec Baldwin's, but when I saw the preview, I was like, are these really genuine tears, or is this, because he's an actor, and a really good one too, is this like, it's hard, you know, it's, I mean, some may argue there's been some time, so yeah, he should do an interview, but also it's like, why would you want to do an interview, you know, there's, I don't know, it's a really hard story to follow, because it's so tragic, and it's, I don't know. I'm going to watch the interview, and I guess I'll talk about it Friday, and maybe my emotions and feelings towards what just a 2-minute clip will change. I hope they do. But yeah, I think a lot of people, the whole world is curious about this because it's so tragic. So, yeah. Well, anyways, we'll see. I'll keep you updated. Second story of the day is from Page Six. Queen of Daytime herself. How you doing? Queen of the Purple Chair, Miss Wendy Williams, says she's, quote, doing fabulous as she leaves Miami Wellness Center. I think this is the first footage we've seen of Miss How You Doin', Queen Wendy Williams, walking in some time. I didn't know she was in Miami, which means she's really close to where I am, which is cool. But there was a video that the Shade Room posted today on Instagram. I mean, I didn't know that until I clicked this article, but then I went right to the Shade Room Instagram page and I saw the video, and it was, I love it. I love Wendy. She's so fabulous, and she looks great. Anyways, Page Six writes, Wendy Williams appeared to be in good spirits as she exited Miami Wellness Center. In new footage out this week, in the clip published Wednesday by The Shade Room, 57-year-old Williams is seen leaving the facility barefoot as she holds on to her driver. As they walk to her vehicle, she ignores a question about her show being canceled, which Wendy Williams' show has not been canceled, as the Wendy Williams show is still filming, albeit with a rotating roster of guest hosts. The pop then wishes Williams well, saying, everyone does hope you feel better, to which she replied, thank you. Wendy is doing fabulous, a Versace robe-clad Williams said in the third person as she entered her awaiting SUV. She then promised fans much more Wendy stuff before ending the conversation. Guest hosts who have stepped in for Williams include Michael Rapaport, Jerry Springer, Sherry Shepherd, and Leah Remini, who is currently sharing hosting duties alongside Michael Visage. The pair is set to co-host through December 10th. Anyways, I love Wendy. Everybody, you know, is well aware that she's taking some time to heal and recover with whatever's going on, and that's private. It doesn't have to be public, but it was really nice to see her, and she was seen very coherent and great. Not that she wouldn't be, but she's been pretty mum, and, you know, there's been paparazzi shots of her in a wheelchair, you know, but maybe she didn't want to walk. Doesn't mean anything. But really good to see our girl out and about. I'm really looking forward to her coming back because we miss her. We miss her. How you doing, queen? So, woohoo. Anyways, third story of the day is from E! News. This is something that I thought was very interesting. And that is Tyra Banks and America's Next Top Model allegedly paid contestants $40 a day. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I've actually never thought about the contestants getting paid for that show. I mean, I used to watch the earlier seasons. And that was like, I thought that never crossed my mind. It was always like, who's going to get the modeling contract with four models or whatever? And like, what? Anyways, Tyra Banks has found herself in hot water once again over America's Next Top Model. This time, the former judge and executive producer of the long-running competition series has come under fire for allegedly paying contestants $40 a day. On Monday, November 29th, Sarah Hartshorn, who competed on the show during the 2007 Cycle 9, alleged on Twitter that she and the other contestants were given $40 a day. No, hi. Oh, tired. So unprofessional of me. No, $40 a day, no residuals, and we had to pay for food. I mean, you would think the $40 would be a food stipend, but that sucks. The allegation first erupted on the social media platform after a Twitter user discussed the model's paychecks in a now viral post. Quote, I need water. The fact that the girls on ANTM, Merck's Next Top Model, were getting paid $40 an episode in Tyra and them judges were making bank is kind of sick. The user wrote, to which Sarah responded, $40 an episode and we had to pay for food. Many reacted to the claims, with one Twitter user commenting, quote, Tyra Banks was sending them girls home with her hair cut off on America's Next Top Model and only making $40 an episode. Y'all, so Tyra Banks was really only paying those girls $40 a day. That's worse than minimum wage, another person wrote, with someone else adding, quote, I mean, the chance at winning an exposure is there, but damn, cover food at least, LOL. Yeah, that's actually kind of shocking. There's another part of the article that says, in 2018, during the 24th season of the series, 20-year-old Kyle Coleman won the competition and signed a contract with Next Model Management, earned a fashion spread in Paper Magazine, and won a cash prize of $100,000 from Pantene. But according to other reality TV contestants, this level of minimum pay appears to be the norm in the industry. Back in July, Big Brother's Elena Davies, who competed on season 19 in 2017, revealed how much she made while on the show. Quote, we were paid a stipend per week, she said during an interview on The Bachelorette, $1,000 a week. Yeah, I mean, look, I know that when you're on a reality show, you don't make much unless you're like, I don't know. I don't even know. What was Donald Trump's show? The Apprentice. I don't even know how that works, or if all the money you make on that show goes to charity, or if that's just Celebrity Apprentice. This is not a reason to cancel Tyra. Obviously, Tyra's going to make more money. It's her show, and she's Tyra Banks. So her name is Banks. She has a bankable name. And also, it's her show. So I don't know. I don't know what the point of this article was, but I thought it was really interesting because actually, like I said before, I never thought about how much the contestants were making. But like, whatever. $40 a day, and you're getting so much exposure. Seems pretty good to me. I mean, they should have paid for food, but, you know, anyways. This is our fourth and final story of the day. This is, like, literally shocking, honey. I was in tears when I read this. I was shocked. I was in tears. I was shocked. I was in tears. If you know, you know. Anyways, the New York Post, you know, I don't know how true this is, but they're saying HBO was, quote, concerned about Sopranos star James Gandolfini, who played Tony Soprano, quote, staying alive. This is very interesting. And a new tell-all book about what went down behind the scenes at HBO is shedding some light on Soprano star James Gandolfini's passing. Tinderbox, HBO's ruthless pursuit of new frontiers, written by journalist James Andrew Miller, dishes all the dirt on the iconic cable network. Former Time Warner chairman and CEO and HBO head Jeff Buke spoke to Miller about the mob's drama six-season run and how executives... Oh, sorry to interrupt. I'm seeing accused... That tragic shooting that just happened in Michigan, they released a photo of the young guy. Oh my gosh, I gotta read this after. Sorry. I've been, like, really, really, I've been, like, fascinated by this case. Sorry. Gandolfini staying alive. The actor passed away in 2013 after suffering a heart attack at 51. Quote, we were concerned about Gandolfini staying alive. Occasionally he would go on a bender or a coke binge. We had to stop production, Buke said in the book. I mean, that's crazy. This is alleged, though. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but, you know. He explained that the production delays cost a hefty penny and, quote, was hard on the other actors' schedules. Bukes also said that he didn't pressure former HBO chairman Chris Albrecht about Gandolfini skipping work because he, quote, thought Jimmy was embarrassed. During award season, Gandolfini would bring 2 to 3 bottles of good Italian wine so we didn't have to drink the shit Merlot that they serve at the Golden Globes. Like, he would be embarrassed if he knew I was drinking at the table, Bukes continued. I drank with him, thinking it would calm him down. I guess I was stupid. Gandolfini played mob boss Tony Soprano from 99 till 2007. Albrecht was also interviewed for the book and revealed that the network hosted an intervention at his apartment in Manhattan. The intervention wasn't my idea. I think it was his family's idea because his sister was there. It was definitely a crisis situation, Albrecht said. However, Albrecht claimed he wasn't at all anxious about Gandolfini's health at the time. Quote, I don't remember us being worried he was going to die, but it became a real problem with shooting the show. It became a lack of respect for the other actors as well, so there were sort of problems that bubbled up. Well, this is really interesting because I do wonder who the alleged issues were with. I mean, the only other lead of the show, aside from Michael Ampanelli, who played... whatever his character's name was, and then Edie Falco, who I assume, and who we all know actually was going through her own thing. Remember, she had cancer. I don't think it was like, I don't know. It's just really interesting to know. You never know what goes on behind the scenes. It's just like with all the Sex and the City stuff. Nobody ever knew everything was. I mean, there were rumblings about SJP and Kim Cattrall, but you know, with what came up very recently about what Kim said on Piers Morgan, I mean, nobody knew until she kind of confirmed it. So, but anyways, I love The Sopranos. It's one of my favorite shows ever. And James Gandolfini was incredible as Tony. And that the whole cast was phenomenal. So may he rest in peace, but I love him so much. So I don't know. All right, everybody, that is a Thursday episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I'm Andrew Dimitri, the Mistress of Pop Culture. You can stream my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, CastBox Radio, iTunes, podcast app on your iPhone, basically anywhere a podcast stream. Thank you so much. I'll be back tomorrow to talk about the Alec Baldwin interview. Excuse me. And I said what I said, so have a great Thursday, and peace!